Man, Auburn football's media team, they just don't miss.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Auburn's football media team just keeps on killing it, man. They keep on putting out the great content. We're going to break down a couple of those videos. We're going to talk about winners of spring, and then we're going to look quickly at Auburn's second round NIT win. And by the way, look, I know this is live and that interview's still going on. If you haven't heard, or if you're listening to this later in the day, if you haven't heard Zach's interview on Locked On Auburn with Cole Best, it's phenomenal. It's still going on right now in the premiere. And boy, that kid gets you excited. There one quick takeaway from that interview so far, and then we'll jump into the videos, is, man, there is a huge difference between people that are mercenaries that are going and fighting for the money and guys that are going that are fighting for a particular individual. And those guys love Alex Golish, and I think that's going to pay huge dividends. They're fighting for him. Those guys that came here, they could have gone a lot of places. They followed him. They feel like they owe it to him for who they've made them. And man, that's really refreshing. Let's jump into the videos. We typically do this on Mondays after, you know, some really good, social media content that's thrown out there. And Auburn had some good ones over the weekend. And we're going to jump into the first one. And this is funny. You got to know the whole story behind this, but I'm going to play the clip and then we're going to talk about it. So you got Byron Brown, slow motion, throwing a absolute dot to Keyshawn Singleton. And then, boom, there it is. It looks good, man. But there's a reason why this clip is so funny, okay? It's so significant. If you remember last week, this is when the videos of Byron Brown's throwing motion started to go viral. Okay, they started to get a lot of traction. Oh, Auburn's cooked. Auburn's this. Auburn's that. That'll never work in the SEC. So what Auburn media did is they took a video of Byron throwing an absolute dime, and they slowed it way, 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 way down. What's up, everybody? Fired up to have y'all in here. I know that interview was going long, and I don't blame you for not leaving it, because it was incredible. I was in there listening too before we went live. But yeah, so they took the narrative around the slow throwing motion, and then slowed it way, way down, sort of mocking everybody. I don't think the throwing motion is 1% something to be concerned about. It's something that he's had success with. He's overcome a lot of, you know, whatever, any obstacles that it may have created. We posted a film breakdown for members only on our channel. You need to go check that. Taylor Williams breaks it down. He does a really good job, and he shows you all the different types of throws that Byron makes, some that make it a little bit more challenging. And then sometimes when he's on the run, you don't see the motion at all. It's more so like when he's dropped back in the pocket and he's winding up and going, but shows you some other quarterbacks that have long motions and have had success. A couple at Auburn too. Not a couple. You got Jason Campbell at Auburn that had a little bit longer release, and he breaks all that down too. So make sure you subscribe so you can check that video out. You'll learn a lot. So that was really good. That was perfect timing to kind of quell a narrative. Now you got the good old-fashioned hype video, and there's a couple of pieces in here that I found very interesting as well.
Everybody together.
Yes, sir.
Is everybody together?
Yes, sir.
Let's try it, man. It'll work. Elijah, you had it?
Hell yeah.
Whoa! Hey, man, we breaking on the ball.
take his arms.
Accelerate through with that young fella.
Know the why behind it. Understand how hard it is to win an SEC championship. Understand how hard it is to be a first-round draft pick.
When I'm tired, somebody has to make a play. That's how it works. I told y'all, when you make a play, it's contagious.
Hey, you got to do real special, bro. Yeah. Hey, y'all rest the pace, y'all get set, and y'all get the dream.
Can't get enough of that. Look, a couple of things about this video. Okay, number one, just go back and think about the level of coaches you just saw. Okay, you got Tim Banks, who is obviously a veteran SEC defensive coordinator, coaching your safeties. Okay, a lot of success at Tennessee, a lot of success everywhere he's been, coaching your safeties. You got Coleman Hutzler, who got a really good he got a lot of airtime there. Okay, and the things that he said, the things it takes to win an SEC championship, the things it takes to become a first round draft pick, like he's been around those guys. So there is value there. There is a proof of concept there, and that guy is coaching our outside linebackers. You know, won an SEC championship. He's got weight behind the words that he's using, that he's teaching with. It's good stuff. So, and then obviously you got Cody Burns, who's had success at several different stops at Auburn, at UCF, at Tennessee, obviously, when they started lighting the world on fire on offense. And then obviously he's a player who won a national championship, caught a touchdown pass in the national championship. That's just really good stuff. And then you got Omar at the end. Did you hear Omar Mapson getting after the offensive line? That guy's a reclassified year two guy. So this is really his true freshman year. Like, this is really the year he should be an actual freshman, and he's barking at the offensive line. I love that, man. I love guys feeling like they can take charge, and when they speak, people listen. And Omar's going to be a good one. He's going to have to be patient, but I think he's going to be a good one, and he could be a good one this year, but have a really good shot of taking over the following year and being a part of that 1-2 punch, maybe with Bryson Washington if Bryson stays another year. So really, really good stuff. And then this is the most recent one, and I don't have sound on this one. I'm just going to kind of talk through it, but this is just incredible. This is the freshman-to-freshman connection. You got Reese Brush, your late addition quarterback, and Brady Marchese, one-handed, just snatched it out of the air. I love it, man. The freshman-to-freshman connection, this kind of stuff just gets me jacked up. I felt like Marchese, I don't know why, he just kind of looks like he's going to be a dog. He looks like he's going to be a super early contributor. He's fast, he's athletic, and clearly he's got hands. And then, hey, how about the dot from Reese? Reese is one of those guys. Reese, I think people will associate kind of like a Hank Brown. You know, the very late addition guy that you bring in with the coach that was committed to the prior coach. And you maybe don't think too much about him playing or being much of a factor for quite a while. But that kid's got some talent, and the kid's a winner. He's played for a winning program. So don't be shocked if he makes some noise. He's got to gain some weight. He's got to get a little bit bigger, which I have no doubt that he's going to take advantage of everything, all the resources here to get his body ready. But look at the arm talent, man. The arm talent's there. I've seen it in person, too. The kid can play. So really, really good stuff. We're going to talk winners of spring. We're going to talk winners of spring so far, 1 week in, break that down, and then we're going to talk about the NIT win here in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout-out to Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika. Auto hospitality, that's where it's at. You want to find an auto shop, call them and say, hey, do y'all do auto hospitality? You know what that term means. If they don't, hang up. They take care of you from the start to the finish. They don't look at you as hey, let's try to hit them for everything they got. This one chance, take it. Take everything from them. No, this is about creating a relationship where you'll keep coming back. They're at the corner of Pepperell Parkway and Veterans. Check them out. Show them some love. It's Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika. And then, obviously, we got to show some love to Roback.com. Use coupon code BARN20. I got some of my Roback stuff on, and I meant to wear it today and forgot. They got a new hoodie collection out that's just phenomenal. You guys need to check it out. Save big. Auburn licensed apparel as well. I got a new Auburn polo that came in. I'll have to wear that too. Really cool stuff. Show them some love. It's Roback.com. We'll be back right after this. All right, let's talk winners from spring. I got three. So far, my number one, and what's funny about this is he's my number one winner of spring so far, but he may not even start. He may not even start, and that's Malik Autry. Everybody can't stop talking about Malik Autry. The only problem is they also can't stop talking about Cody Sigler, who is going to be right in front of him. Here's the deal, okay? I love Malik. Malik last year, I think, from the outside looking in, may have bought into his own hype a little bit. You know, he in some places he was a five-star. I think on 247 he was a five-star defensive tackle. I don't want to say that the drive wasn't there. I don't necessarily know the exact terms to describe it, but I just want to say I think maybe last year he bought into his hype just a little bit. This year, in the very, very first practice we saw, they're talking about he does one rep of a drill and it's absolute perfection, which is something that is very hard to get out of Vontrell King-Williams. And he says, oh, that's perfect. Go to the back of the line. Everybody's talking about this kid. He has unlimited athletic ability as a big guy. He could be a Nick Fairley type defensive lineman. Not only a guy that eats blocks and is disruptive, but a guy that could be a pass rush threat. He's that athletic. And if he can keep that focus straight, Cody Sigler, hey, the job's not guaranteed. Like, he's good. They love him too. But the job's not guaranteed. So Malik's going to keep pushing, and it would not shock me one bit if at some point in time he's playing maybe the same level of snaps or maybe even more snaps than Cody Sigler. So definitely my top guy so far of spring. My number two, and I did a whole show about him, but it's Chaz Nimrod, man. And maybe not so much winner with the team or winner as far as like surprising the folks in the building, stepping up or whatever. Do you get what I'm saying? Like maybe not a guy that's coming out of nowhere to people in the building, but I think to us, I think he is sort of started to show that he's right there on the level with the Keyshawn Singleton, with the Jeremiah Koger. Like he's right there at the top as well. He was the leading receiver last year at South Florida. He was the leading receiver until he went out. And now he's fully healthy. He's playing combo they'll line him up anywhere. They just want to get him in a matchup. He's that kind of receiver. That to me, that is not something I expected out of Chaz Nimrod. And that's to my own ignorance. So I think that's a big winner from that. That's a huge winner right there, just from a fan perspective, not knowing who a lot of those guys were or having our own expectations, and then Nimrod blowing the roof off of that. And then my last winner of the spring so far, it's got to be Cole Best. I mean, y'all just watched the interview. He is so incredibly impressive, and I've said it, and I said it before, and it's never been more solidified to me that he's at worst the second most important guy that we added in the portal this past season. Is that out of line? Second most important, hands down. I mean, just think about the leadership, the familiarity with the offense, everything that goes along with a quarterback-center relationship. man, that kid's impressive. And I feel like I'm learning more about Alex Golish and how he coaches and his player relationships the more I hear Cole Best talk. Again, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you got to go to Locked On Auburn and check out the interview with Zach. But I'm learning so much about this whole ideology that Golish has, this whole strategy about team building and culture. I'm learning all that through Cole Best, and every time he speaks, he's going to be a fan favorite. And I think it's another one of those things very similar to Nimrod, where like maybe he's not, he was a little bit ahead of Nimrod from where fans, what fans think about him. But he's another one that, like, man, the more he talks, the more I learn about him, the more I feel like from the fan base, from the outside looking in, the value is just skyrocketing. So that's really good stuff, man. Yeah, and then, you know, obviously there's other guys. Jeremiah Coger's having a great spring. Keyshawn Singleton, Byron Brown, like all the guys you would expect to be having great springs, you know, are. Elijah Melendez, you saw him breaking down from a leadership role, one of those huddles to start practice. Like a lot of good stuff coming out of spring. All right, let's talk basketball for a second before we get out of here today. Auburn makes it to the Elite Eight of the NIT. What do you call it? The NIT what? Is it just the NIT or is it the NIT tournament? The NIT, because the T is the tournament, right? So what do you call it? Just the NIT? The second round of the NIT as they take down Seattle, 91-85. That game ended, to me, way closer than it actually was. Is that fair? I don't feel like that game, once the second half started to really get rolling, Auburn stretched it to, you know, 16 to 18 points, I think, at one point in time. It didn't really feel as close as a six-point game. They got hot right there at the end and cut it. But we were just like running clock and just trying to get out of there. So I know people are going to look at that score and be like, man, Auburn was a 13.5 point favorite and they only won by six. They're going to get cooked. It wasn't that close. It was not really that close. Auburn scored 50 points, 49 points in the second half. I mean, they looked really, really good offensively. Didn't really, shot okay from three, 35%. That's pretty good for us. And I said Auburn's going to shoot 30 free throws. I think I said it early in the game that Auburn would shoot 30 free throws. They shot 32 and hit 24 of them. If that is happening, Auburn actually is kind of a tough team to beat. When they're getting the calls, which they were, when they're getting the calls, Auburn's a tough team to beat because they can hit their free throws. Absolutely abuse them on the boards. 41-23. I mean, that is taking you out to the woodshed. And they had a ton more size, I feel like, than Auburn. They didn't have the physicality, I feel like. Sway, to me, could have scored probably every other possession, just driving it into the chest of their bigger guys because he's just so physical. And they didn't have really an answer for him. He had 15 points. He was 6 of 6. He did not miss a single shot. The only shot he missed was a free throw, and that's it. So he shot the ball 9 times. No, he shot the ball 10 times. He made 9 of them. It's good stuff, man. Other guys that played really well, Kevin Overton, pay him whatever you got to pay him to bring him back. You need his leadership. You need him in the building next year. He can get hot and he can fill it up. He was 4 of 9 from 3, 7 of 13 overall, 23 points. Elijah Freeman, that was really the Elijah Freeman game, I feel like. He had one exchange where he caught an alley-oop and then he went down on the next possession and hit a 3. He was 4 of 5 from 3. If that guy can shoot threes, and he can be an athletic freak, that guy could be an NBA player in 2 years. Like, if he does that next year for a season long, he'll be an NBA player. They will drool over a 6'6", bouncy freak that can shoot threes. Like, they will go crazy. over that guy. So good stuff. Seattle has a guy, okay? Seattle has a dude. There's got to be a way you could get a waiver for this kid. Braden Maldonado is unbelievable. He's an undersized point guard, but the kid can fill it up. He was 7 of 13 from 3, and he shoots like 40% from 3 all year anyway. So the kid's good. He didn't really turn the ball over either. So, like, he's a scoring point guard that doesn't really turn it over. He had 25 points and 5 assists. He played 2 years. We looked this up last night. It was something in Denver, like Metropolitan College of Denver or something like that. And we're like, man, surely that's not a real college. Like, surely that counts as like a JUCO, and you could get a waiver for that guy. If that kid ran point for Auburn this year, Auburn's a better team. And you could slide to Hyde to like a two guard, which is really more his natural position. Kind of like, honestly, like Aiden Holloway. Aiden Holloway is not a point guard. He's an undersized two guard, a slasher and a three-point shooter. And to me, that's what Tahad is. He's better off the ball than on the ball. Get him in a one-on-one matchup. Get him some space. Pass him the ball. Let him drive and slash instead of coming up the court, setting up the offense. That, to me, is more of what Tahad is. But this kid, Braden Maldonado, can play. So Auburn takes on Nevada, and it looks like we play Wednesday at around 8 o'clock or something like that, 8 or 8:30. So this is the last game that you play before you go to Indianapolis. So Auburn's, this is their last home game. So you get Nevada at home, and then you go play the Final Four, I believe, in Indianapolis. So good stuff. Hey, let's get to 20 wins. Let's try. You got one more, you get to 20 wins. That's a pretty good first year for Steven. Finish this thing out with a bang, win the tournament, and build some momentum going into the portal. And hopefully these games you're able to create some camaraderie too, especially with those core guys you may want to keep. And maybe it'll make them want to stay more. So good stuff. Guys, really appreciate it. Thanks for being in the live. I know that y'all jumped over here from Zach's, and I really appreciate that. And man, it makes these lives so much more fun when you got, you know, 150, 200 people in here live every morning. That's just a blast. So, guys, thanks for listening. We'll be back again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.